City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Let's talk with our reporter Dave Eason, who's been working for the Olympic Broadcast Services out there in Rio. Morning to you, David.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Very good. Back home, a little bit jet-lagged. When did you return?
Just a little bit jet-lagged. Just a 22-hour journey home, which took, well, I can't even remember what time I left. But I think it was 3 o'clock on Friday, and I got home before the closing ceremony, at least.
So 3 weeks or three and a half weeks? Was that in Rio?
I was there for a month.
A month? Right, yeah. Okay. So you had the couple of weeks preceding it just to get your head round it all. Just give us an idea of the flavour of the Games as a whole. Do you think the country of Brazil will be celebrating it as a success?
I think eventually Brazil came around to it because of their own medal success and the way it finished on such a high with not just the football goal, but the volleyball goal that they finished off with yesterday. I think sporting-wise, Brazil will celebrate this as a fantastic Games. There's a lot of other stuff going on in Brazil that maybe did come across back here, but it surprised me. And I've been there before in 2014 for the World Cup, and I kind of knew that this was coming, but the political shenanigans and chicanery, whatever else you want to call it, throughout the country is something that you really can't get your head around until you're there and you're speaking to people from Rio itself.
Was there the buzz there? I mean, we've heard a lot about stadiums that were half full, you know, bad attendances at certain sorts of events, and yet other events were sort of swamped. The swimming was always full, the gymnastics halls looked full, the badminton looked full, but maybe traditional sports like the athletics seemed to be half full.
Yeah, and that's down to the ticketing of it all. And again, you've got to try and get your head around Rio as a city. It is a wonderful, wonderful place. I have to say that. It is a beautiful place in so many different ways. But it's a mix of first and third world, and a lot of people live in huge poverty. And if the tickets that you can get hold of are minimum £65-90.
Wow.
You're not going to get people in there. And there's also the fact that people who wanted to buy the cheaper tickets couldn't get hold of them because they've been swallowed up by other organisations, other companies who are then going to try and sell them on. And the people who lived outside the Olympic Stadium couldn't get into the Olympic Stadium. So that the athletics itself was such an odd thing. The fact the Olympic Stadium was nowhere near anything else. It was nowhere near the Copacabana beach. It was nowhere near the main Olympic Park in Barra. And it was out on a bit of a limb. So it was not really a surprise to see it so empty on so many occasions, but it made it look terrible, didn't it?
It certainly did. You do wonder what will happen after these Games to all the brilliant infrastructure that is built for an Olympic Games. Will it have a legacy there?
The park itself, I was pleasantly surprised by. That's where you'll have seen Claire Balding with her trolley now and again. It was very like London. In fact, I think it was designed by the people who designed the park in London itself. What it didn't have in the park was that buzz. You couldn't go in just randomly unless you, I think in London, you could buy a park ticket and just enjoy the day. You couldn't do that here. And it just meant that at times it felt a little bit empty. Towards the end, it got a real buzz about it because there was the main station Globo over there had a huge studio in the centre of it, and they kept bringing all the Brazilian medalists out, and we were walking back home from where we were at Rio Centro, which was, again, just a conference centre that held the table tennis and the boxing. And that was the place where the buzz kind of got going, but it didn't have the athletics in the middle of it, and that made it so strange. When you say the legacy of it all, some of these structures that were there, again, I saw them 2 years ago. Certainly the aquatic centre was there, the diving centre was there, and that was already rusting 2 years ago. So I don't know what that'll turn into in the next 2 years. But I hope it maintains some sort of sporting legacy. The area around it has been transformed into lots of condominiums and apartment blocks, and people live there. And where Barra used to be so far away from Rio, and a good kind of 2 hours, 3 hour commute in the morning, and that's every day. That's not just a random transport commute into the centre of Rio. 3 hours into work and 3 hours back is a normal commute to and from work.
Oh, can you imagine it, David? What a nightmare!
I experienced some of the transport in Rio, I never want to experience it again. The metro that opened the day before the games, solely for people who are working on the games, we seem to be testing it out. That will provide so much of a difference to people who live and work in Rio. A friend of mine who I met in 2014, she regularly spends 3 to 4 hours commuting to and from work every day. And she wrote a post on Facebook the day that she was able to use the metro the first time. And she just described that she was in tears to be able to take half an hour to go from the center of Rio to where she was working in Barra. Half an hour, which then goes through the favela of Rocinha, where there's like a million people living on the side of a hill in houses that they built themselves. And that will change Rio so much. But again, the political situation is so odd that a lot of people in Rio will have wanted it to fail, because it will have meant, if it had been a success, the politicians will jump on it. And the politicians, nobody likes either set of politician. It's a bit like here. It's even worse there. The corruption is so evident on a daily basis that to feel that Brazil has won in some way and Rio has been a success gives them an odd feeling, because they know that politicians will jump on it and use it to their own end.
It's quite hard to get your head around that, get the mindset, isn't it, of a country wanting itself to fail just for sort of political gains. What about the Paralympics? We've heard quite a bit in the past couple of days about certain funding being withdrawn, and actually maybe in the build-up to the Games, they haven't quite established or understood financially how the two could run side by side. Is the Paralympics going to suffer out in Rio?
I have real fears for the Paralympics. It'll be such a shame after London, it was a great success anyway, but for the Paralympic organisation, it was superb, wasn't it, in London? And in Rio, they've already ditched, I think, half of the venues. They're taking it away from Deodoro, which was the place where they had the equestrian event and the hockey. You'll have seen. It was also where they had that bullet found in the equestrian events. And the press room was hit by a stray bullet that was not aimed at the equestrian event, but just happened to be flying by. They built a sporting venue in the middle of the place where I was. It was described to me as in the middle of a civil war, because you've got two favelas on either side that don't like each other. But there was this military compound in the centre that they created a sporting venue out of.
A great organisation.
Yeah, not the funnest place to live as well. I know people who were staying up there and they referred to it as the Deodoro prison, because there was nothing else there. It was just an old military base. But they're not going to go there. I'm talking about the Paralympics. 12% of tickets sold. It had been told that there was 30% sold, but the mayor of Rio, who had bought 500,000 tickets for people and young people in the favelas to go and see this sport, suddenly said, well, actually, we haven't got the money to do that, so we're going to give those tickets back. I have real fears that these wonderful athletes are going to be treated in a terrible way when they get to Rio. That the money that was spent on making the green pool blue again, that was all Paralympic money.
When it was green, wasn't it?
if you saw the picture at the bottom of it, it was a different colour green at the bottom of that pool.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which brings us to not just the sights of Rio, but the smell.
They're still with it. Right, let's get through some of your highlights then. Athlete of the Games for yourself. This might be someone you saw firsthand or not. I mean, you were covering the table tennis, weren't you?
Well, table tennis is one thing, yeah. I mean, the table tennis final is watched by more people in China than watched the 100-meter final. And so that was something to behold. My athlete of the Games was Ding Ning, wonderfully named, Ding Ning, who was an absolute superstar in China. In fact, all the table tennis players, whether they're from Germany or from Sweden, they can't walk the streets of Beijing without getting mobbed. It was some fantastic stories I have from the table tennis there. But she was fantastic. Silver medalist in London. And finally won again in Rio, finally won the gold. But that's a personal thing, having seen 12 days of table tennis can take its toll, believe me, Steve.
It's got to be Usain Bolt for me. The Bolt factor is just, he makes the games, you know. I think even when he won his 200 metres, you looked at it and you thought, he's actually trying quite hard now, whereas it all seemed to be quite easy for him. You knew this was an absolute great who's probably at the very end of his legacy, I thought.
Yeah, but I still think he thought he could break 19 seconds given the right conditions in that 200. And he didn't. He thought he could break the 100-meter world record as well, but he didn't get in the right conditions there because the organisation meant the timings of the semi-finals and the final were too short apart. The timings was another thing in Brazil, with strange kind of midnight kickoffs for some volleyball matches and beach volleyball for TV in the US and around the world. But yeah, other athletes have stood out for us. I have to say, the sports that stood out were the ones that I really didn't think would go. Golf. What a triumph the golfing tournament was for men and women. Justin Rose thoroughly going 2 feet into the whole Olympic spirit, and thankfully he came through it. Henrik Stenson there as well at the end. Big name. He really fought for that gold medal.
And big crowds as well. It got the crowds in the golf.
Yeah, it was a full house on some days. I think all 4 days were sold out for the golf. The big thing that stood out for me, not just the Brazilian football gold, not sure about football as a man's game at the Olympics. I think it's definitely one of the big tournaments in women's football, and that's where women's football grows. The Olympics has been for a while. Not sure that Neymar being chiselled into an under-23 tournament made that any better.
No, I think the football was largely ignored here as well, David. You know, even when it got to the final, it just seemed to be a sideshow in terms of the coverage.
Indeed. I think that the highlights for us, the hockey was fantastic on Friday night. The gymnastics, you now have superstars of British sport who are gymnasts. I mean, 20 years ago, would you ever have thought that? That we're ruling the world when it comes to gymnastics. And Max Whitlock is an absolute superstar. So in two goals in, what, 2.5 hours? Unbelievable stuff. Mm. The failures, maybe, and pointers where some of these athletes who've won gold and won medals might want to look at Tom Daley and Lewis Smith and the way that maybe high-profile winners lose a bit of edge. It might just be things just went wrong on the day, but is that a point to make that you've got to? It's a 4-year thing, and the work that these people put in. And the one thing that working at the Olympics for me shows is that, I mean, I work with footballers on a daily basis. I interview them all the time. But when I speak to Olympians, there's something different about Olympic sportsmen and women who give absolutely everything for 4 years. No one talks to them for 3.5 years. And then they pull this out the back every 4 years. And the work that goes in, it's the most inspirational thing. And they're the most inspirational people I've ever worked with in sport.
David, I defy you not to get a lump in your throat when you're watching the BBC roundup at the end of that 2 weeks last night, honestly. Not just because the music's on it, but just to literally look into the eyes, the faces of those people. It's all very emotional, and rightly so, because as you say, these are people who are largely under the radar. They're not getting the recognition they deserve over that 4-year period.
Not at all. And I having read a few things and people saying that, you know, to get bronze these days is a failure. Well, that made me really angry when a certain person said that a few weeks back. I know everyone likes to win and everyone likes to win gold, and we've done so well at these games to come second in the medal table, which is just bizarre, quite frankly, that we've beaten China and Russia to get above that medal table. But to just get a medal at the Olympic Games is, well, I can only imagine what that feels, and really I can't imagine it, because the work that these people have put in, and to get a medal and to see the joy in their eyes and just the emotion of it all, it really does get to you.
Some great funny moments as well, not least the Mongolian wrestler who stripped in protest after he lost his bronze medal match. Did you see that one?
Yeah. Well, he got a point deducted for celebrating, didn't he, on the last second?
So he stripped off.
Not just him, both his coaches stripped off and threw their trousers at the judges.
And the other one was the Haitian hurdler, Jeffrey Jolmis, who was showboating around before he started and then just proceeded to run straight into the first hurdle and fall over.
I love the dancing weightlifter as well. We got quite close to him. He was at Rio Centro from one of the South Pacific Islands. He was a wonderful guy. He managed to do half of the lift, and then he'd never quite get the final bit. But when he dropped it, he kissed both sets of weights and then do a little jig, which was and then kind of, it was fantastic. Find that on YouTube. He's amazing. There's just some great people who just love being at the Olympic Games, and The Olympics always comes through as a positive, whether it takes you 3 hours to get to work or you get on the wrong bus to the Olympic venue, which Fran Holsoff did. She was a victim of one of our Olympic bus drivers who took her to the athletic centre rather than the swimming centre, so they had to push the final back. It was three athletes who were due to be in the final who were on their way to the Olympic Stadium.
Brilliant. David, thank you for your time this morning. Take you a week to get over it. Have a nice rest.
Oh, yes. And then the football season's back, isn't it? Has it started yet?
Yes, it has. Straight into it. Dave Easton, thank you. Speak to you soon. There you go, Dave Easton. He's been out covering the Olympics for the last month.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.